One of the highlight mitzvahs in this week's parsha is, of course, v'chalta v'savato v'erachta, the mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon, a mitzvah which we keep occasionally, and certainly in our more carb-conscious society, it's over the last number of decades and over the last couple of years, that has become, for many, more of a Shabbos mitzvah than a daily mitzvah. But as the Rambam points out at the beginning of Hilchos Brachos, he opens Hilchos Brachos by saying the Hilchos Brachos encompasses only one mitzvah d'oraisa, and that is the mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon, v'chalta v'sevato v'erachta. Then goes on to say that Chazal took this as a prototype and expanded the concept of Birkas HaMazon d'oraisa in many derabbanan directions. So number one, of course, the mitzvah d'oraisa we paskin is only v'sevato. Well, if you have a full meal and you're satiated, Midrabanan, Gemara says, even if you have a small amount of bread, you just had a kazais, Midrabanan, you got a bench. And in the Torah, it's only mazon, sounds like bread. Midrabanan is all sorts of food. And in the Torah, it's only bracha acharona, it's only making a bracha after you eat. Midrabanan, it's before you before you eat and before you drink and before you enjoy smells. And the Rabbi goes on to say that Chazal even pushed it beyond the whole new layers. Because he even pushed beyond Birkas Hanen and beyond Brachas over pleasure to two other areas as well. I think the Rambam might be the first one who gives us, sort of formulates the categories, the three major types of Brachas, Birkas Hanen and Birkas HaMitzvahs, and the Birkas Shavach V'Odah. Brachas over pleasure, before and after food, and drink, and before smells, and then Brachas on Mitzvahs, Asher ki yishon sosa v'tzivanu. And then he says, the miscellaneous, birka shavach v'hodan bakasha. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tefillah, we tend to think of the paradigms of that, the bracha on thunder, the bracha on lightning, come across a place where one was miraculously saved. Sha'asli neisim makam hazeh. It sounds like perhaps some of the brachas of tefillah fall into that third category also. And as he introduces these, before he gives you a neat, clean list, which he ultimately does in Lacha Dalet, he says, Nimtzu, there are three types of brachas, Birkas Hanen, and Birkas HaMitzvahs, and Birkas Shavach V'Hodah. As he unfolds them, after speaking about all the different flavors, all the different varieties, no pun intended, of Birkas Hanen, he says, and just as you make a bracha on pleasure, so too, kashem, you make a bracha on pleasure, so too you make a bracha before you perform mitzvah. And you also make brachos of, Chazal also were masakin brachos of shevach v'hodah. So the Soloveitchik was sensitive to the there's a wrinkle in the language. When he introduces a third category, shevach v'hodah, and also, when he introduces birkas mitzvahs, it's not just there's another type. It's just like you have this, so you have that. So there's some sort of equation between the bracha you make on eating and the bracha you make on a mitzvah, which is sort of hard to understand exactly what that is. Like the different approaches one could take, the Rav suggested a fascinating concept. It's a concept worth digesting, worth really chewing over. I apologize for all the unintended puns. But it really is, all kidding aside, it's really something worth thinking about, because it's a svara that I think could change the way we think about mitzvahs. The Rav suggested that, as the Rambam quoted when he was beginning to talk about the different types of Birkas Hananin, that the Gemara on the opening Amud of Parakeis and Mevarchim, the sixth paragraph of brachas, all about brachas on food, so the Gemara introduces a very fundamental svara. The Gemara says, you got to understand, you make bracha on before you eat. It's not just a mitzvah to do before you eat. It fundamentally changes your relationship with the food. If you didn't make a bracha, it's theft. Ki'ilu mo'al. It's as though you stole from God. L'Hashem ha'aretz u'malola. The world is God's. We transform that Hashemayim shamayim l'Hashem v'aretz nasan l'vnei adam. We shift it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving us authorization, license to enjoy the world by saying a bracha. So you say a bracha, then you have permission. You're taking permission to enjoy the food. To eat, to take without a bracha, it's an act of theft, a trespass. So the Rav suggested that idea, Maybe what the Rambam is trying to say is that that idea somehow carries over to mitzvahs also, which at first glance seems really counterintuitive. I need permission to do a mitzvah? I thought I was obligated to do a mitzvah. Oh, I have to ask permission? Fine, so I won't do the mitzvah. Well, what does it mean? The Rambam said, no, it sounds as though the Rambam is saying that just like the bracha on food, the bracha Rishona is a matir, it gives me license, authorization to eat, so I need authorization to do a mitzvah, even though I don't have the right to just say, well, I have no authority, I just won't do it. I am obligated. A mitzvah is a mitzvah, it's a tzivui, it's a commandment. But what the bracha highlights, at the same time that mitzvahs are commandments, they're also extraordinary privileges. It's a responsibility, but it's an extraordinary privilege. If I was, I'm going to enter the palace of the king to serve Melech Malchim Lachim, so I'm expected to be there. But at the same time, I got to knock before I come in. I have to recognize an obligation, but also an extraordinary privilege. It would be a chutzpah to just sort of meander in without asking leave. And so, as I was saying before, it solves the problem of the language of the Rambam, but it does so much more. Because what it gets us thinking about, sort of seeing mitzvahs in two ways simultaneously. Mitzvahs are obligations, and they're also extraordinary privileges. Privileges which I need to ask permission to do which I'm obligated to do. Kashem shevarcha al-hamnaya, kach mevarcha al-kal mitzvah mitzvah, yachach yasosah.